You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You guys that wanted to get in and talk about the Astros, you're more than welcome to do that. 713-780-3776. Is the number 713-780-3776 if you'd like to get in here to talk about whatever. So Mac Jones is real, dude. You know, they've got quarterback play, and the Patriots are a real team. The Patriots might be better than the Bills right now. The Patriots are the Bills are not
they're
playing
more
good.
Consistent.
The Bills are not playing good
they're
football.
They're more consistent right now. Yeah. The Patriots' defense has come alive. They're playing really well. And see, I have my doubts if Jones has the type of playmaking potential to win a game. If it,
I don't know. He threaded the needle on that touchdown pass that was just perfect.
He's played the whole year. He's got like, 13 touchdown passes? It's not like he's not a monster, but he's a game manager right now with the ability to, he manages the game really effectively.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mac Jones is your milquetoast quarterback that the media won't get excited about. Fans and media killed him for being drafted where he was. I didn't love him coming out. I thought he was more of a second rounder and maybe a future average starter is what I had my grade on him. But I tell you what, he's done a really nice job. He's exceeded my expectations. He exceeded the clowning that people gave him on draft day for sure, and he's become a nice quarterback. Well, the clowning was because the thought that the San Francisco 49ers could possibly draft Mac Jones. What kind of stupid asses are they? They drafted Trey Lance. Now Trey's going to need some time before, he's not even a starter yet. They're taking their time with him. But I mean, Mac Jones would have run that San Francisco offense better than Jimmy Garoppolo. Without a doubt. Mm-hmm. Mac has become a really nice, he doesn't panic very, very much. He's got good control of that offense. I'll tell you, I don't think Bill Belichick didn't find the next Brady, but he found a pretty good quarterback.
I mean, he fit the Brady mold.
He's a pocket passer. Yeah. And he tries to outthink you and all that stuff. Yeah, he's in that mold. He's in that mold for sure. Do you think they targeted him or do you think he fell to them? Remember, he was like the 12th pick for the Patriots. And Justin Fields went ahead of him because we'll see all the quarterbacks who went ahead of him. There's a lot of quarterbacks. What Fields, obviously Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Fields, and Trey Lance. Those are the four quarterbacks. You look at Zach Wilson. Now, of course, the Jets with Mike White had a terrible game. Best thing that could have happened to the Jets, get their asses kicked and Mike White not play well. Honestly, that's the best thing that could have happened to them.
That Jeremy Lin 3 weeks of fame for Mike White is over. So, now, you know what? It's New York. They're going to overhype everything, every little good thing that happens. Mike White is not the answer. If you could redraft right now, where would you take Mac Jones?
Probably two.
You'd still take Lawrence? Now,
I still think Lawrence has a chance to be special. It's just they got to really get some stuff
if
going.
You look
Mac at, needs things around him now. Hey, that's a pretty good situation with you got a team committed to the run. You've got some offensive linemen up front that you've invested in. You got a good defense. Like that's not a bad situation that he's in. I don't think the Jacksonville situation would have been great for Mac Jones's style of football. I think you got to be a little more mobile with that offensive line. But you know what? The Jets?
Oh, there's no question Mac Jones is better than Zach Wilson. No question.
I mean, the Jets either draft Trey Lance or Mac Jones.
Yeah.
And San Francisco either drafts Mac Jones or Trey Lance also.
Who would you have taken next?
I mean, Trey Lance.
Really?
San Francisco?
Not Jamar Chase?
No, because that offense really needs a quarterback. They needed a quarterback badly. And I'm a believer in Trey Lance. I think he's going to end up being a good player. And then
Would the Falcons have taken Jamar Chase?
Oh, yeah. Falcons were four. Yes, I think they would have. And Kyle Pitts has been fantastic. I think they would have taken
Calvin
Chase.
Ridley, they need a wide receiver.
Especially, you didn't know now with hindsight of Ridley stepping away from football.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Chase is pretty special. Yeah, I probably would have taken Chase over
Devontae Pitts. Smith next?
Nah, he's still 160 pounds.
He's starting to come together.
He is, but I...
How about Sertan?
Sertan, I'm trying to remember who was next. Who had the fifth?
Jamar Chase was fifth. Bengals. So Kyle Pitts maybe goes there.
Kyle Pitts there, maybe.
Jalen Waddle, Penei Sewell, J.C. Horn.
Yeah, no, Sertan would be way up there for me.
Where would Justin Fields go now and Zach Wilson go now?
Justin Fields probably still goes to the Bears.
You think?
I would think. Yeah, I think I don't think anyone takes him. I think.
Where would Slater go now?
Slater would have been a first tackle off the board. He would have been Lions. I think he would have been Lions instead of Sewell. Yeah, I'd have to look at the whole thing. Now you're making me do a redraft article already.
Yeah.
I'll have to do that later on. Why are you making me give me 3 years before we do redraft?
We're 10 weeks
in. Slater's been good.
10 weeks in.
Slater's been good. Yeah, Devontae Smith, I think, has been who he's supposed to be. He had a couple touchdowns yesterday. Jamar's been terrific. Mac Jones better than expected. Zach, disappointment. And then it's incomplete on Fields.
What about Parsons? Trey? Where'd Parsons have gone?
Higher.
Maybe to the Dolphins. Sertan, to the Dolphins at six.
Parsons, yeah, Waddle would have dropped. Parsons, Sertan, and Slater all, to me, would have gone higher if you had it to do all over again.
Yep. If you did it right now.
Zach Wilson plummets.
So you think...
I think Penei Sewell falls a little bit, and who was the other? And Jalen Waddle, I think, drops off.
You see, here's the problem with Mac Jones, though, is that I don't know. Does he fit with the Jets? He might fit exactly perfectly with what the Patriots are doing. You know, the next best player might be Micah Parsons right now.
Oh, it might. I had Micah Parsons, I think,
After Trevor Lawrence.
Fourth or fifth best pick. I mean, I had Kyle Pitts number two in terms of talent. Yeah. No, there was some big-time talent in that draft. This year's draft, I got news. Of course, when the Texans have an early pick.
The first pick.
The early pick, first, second pick, there's not really these headline guys right now. And one of them is a safety out of Notre Dame.
Awesome.
Kyle Hamilton. He's fantastic. He's a safety.
Yeah, fantastic. Can't wait to get that safety.
Oh, can't wait for us to have a
second overall pick.
Safety.
With the second overall pick. No, I think the Texans look at the first overall pick. And now they
you got, might Aggies, you might have seen, if you're an Aggie and a Texans fan, you may have seen your future quarterback in Matt Corral on Saturday. There's a chance.
Yeah, no.
I think there's a chance. Like, he's not the biggest quarterback, but we've seen with Baker and Zach Wilson, that doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it matters with Zach Wilson.
He's got...
And Baker.
What do you mean it matters?
Can't wait to get those guys.
And Kyler Murray. Doesn't matter. Well, look how those three guys are high, high picks, and look at their size.
Yeah.
So who do you see the Lions beating for the Texans to get the number one
pick? Yeah, that's what I want to know. Oh, where's that Lions win coming from?
They could beat the Bears. They could beat the Vikings.
Never know what you get with Vikings. There are times Vikings look like world killers.
The Lions almost beat the Ravens. They were a 68-yard.
Why do you keep saying almost? You're still almosting yourself into a winless team.
But they needed an NFL record field goal to beat the Lions.
Still a loss.
Yeah. No, it was a loss.
Still counts as a win towards the first pick.
Yeah. And they almost won again this week. Nobody wanted to win that game.
You had that game dead right. You should have won.
It was amazing how no one wanted to win that game. The Steelers kept dropping the ball.
It's the most Mason Rudolph
Deontay
game ever.
Johnson's running, he drops the ball. Freiermuth is running, he drops the ball.
Well, he didn't drop it. Gilbert punched it out with a karate chop, Deontay Johnson. The one in overtime?
Yeah.
Yeah,
boom. Yeah, he just.
That wasn't a drop.
He dropped the
ball. He had a punch.
Did he drop the ball or not? Yes, he dropped the ball. Oh my God, that was one of the worst games to ever watch. 713-780-3776. Did you see what Art? Don't ever send us anything ever again on Twitter.
That's the worst thing I've ever seen.
I
don't want to see it ever again. Somebody goes, you watched it? Hey, somebody made me watch Cup Girls when I didn't know what was going on. I mean, I was out after. Literally 2.2 seconds.
I was out after. What did she just do? That is okay.
Well, I stayed because I didn't know what was going to happen. I thought, is this what's about to happen? And then when I realized, oh no.
See, that's why. For those of you who don't know, I guess you could go to our Twitter feeds and see.
I wouldn't even bring it up.
I'm not even describing it.
I wouldn't even bring it up. It's the describe
worst.
I got so Dez put eyeballs, retweet eyeballs, Cleveland Browns team plane hit by lightning. Eyeballs, like retweet eyeballs. I'm like, I don't want to see this.
No, Art.
I'm flying in December.
Yeah.
I don't need to see this.
You got your laptop open and you play that on a plane. What would people around you do?
Well, my wife's afraid to fly. So anytime there's like a plane, and there's hardly any plane crash stories, but if there is one, I have to like scramble to try to turn the TV off to make sure she doesn't hear it or see it when she's listening to one of her 1,000 podcasts she listens to. I'm trying to just get, like, she'll be in the kitchen. I hear a little podcast, like, hoping she didn't see a story about, and a prop plane crash killing 40.
Well,
like, hey, I'm trying to go to Belize. We got to take a prop plane over from San Pedro.
Don't do that. Don't do that. 811 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, the number to hang out with us. Joseph Duarte joins us at the bottom of the hour right here. We got more NFL football to talk on the other side here. But first, what about Craig DeSerf?
Craig DeSerf is awesome. I had, matter of fact, I talked to, just came out of getting my coffee this morning, a guy who I always see in there. He was asking about Gulf Coast Chevy, Buick GMC. He goes, hey, where's the car place you talk about? I said, oh, it's in Angleton. That's my man, Craig DeSerf, is in there. And Craig DeSerf is one of the ones who, listen, a lot of the dealer cashback financing and purchase allowances, that's not Craig's call. But what is his call is making sure that his sales staff finds the right offers for you and finds the right vehicle that you're looking for. You handle the car buying experience. They're there to answer questions and make it a reality for you. They give you more on trade-in value. I mean, they want your pre-owned vehicle, trust me. And their service is top of the food chain. Every year they win the CSI, the Customer Service Index Award, because they're phenomenal. They have almost no turnover over there because they are such a great unit, and they love working for Craig DeSerf at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Right now, $500 cyber cash savings plus $1,000 cash allowance on brand new 2021 Chevy Silverado 1500 crew cabs. Every vehicle in stock, all the Chevys are waiting for you. Chevy, find new roads. For more information, go to LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
I love it. The Lions got rid of Matt Prater to save a few bucks, and boy, did it bite him in the ass.
Oh, my God.
Well, maybe it bit him in the ass. If I'm the Lions, don't you want to lose?
Let me tell you, the Jets wish they lost to the Jaguars.
Yes.
They'd have Trevor Lawrence, and they'd be restarting with that. They wish they lost. If you're the Lions, by the end of the season, not Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell wishes they won. Lions fans are going to wish they lost. And Jared Goff? Jared Goff is going to be the next guy who finds his way out of Detroit, and somebody is going to say, can we win with Jared Goff? Is Jared Goff going to be the next starter for a team, or is he going to be Blaine Gabbert?
He's the next Marcus Mariota.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you think it's going to be backup?
Yes. Who's going to go, I can't wait to get Jared Goff?
Texans.
The Texans? What?
Yeah, Texans.
Why would you draft Jared Goff, a guy who you're fighting for the worst record in football, that's the guy you're pining for?
Goff and Mills. I want to take this all the way Philadelphia 76er, trust the process, Texans. If you get Goff, you got a great chance of getting number one next year, too.
Okay.
76ers need it. They built their team on a bunch of first-round
picks.
How's
the process working out right now, by the way?
76ers?
Only guy that all of those first round, all of those high picks was Embiid. The only guy.
I know, because Ben.
Yeah. Well, he's Ben Simmons. Guess what? He's Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
And look at what they're doing now. They're awful right now.
Yeah.
Have you been watching any basketball, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a lot of other teams. I only lock in every game on the Rockets because it's fun.
Off the top of your head, can you tell me who the top team is in the East?
Yes, it's Washington. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
It's Washington.
Washington. Washington. Followed by the Nets, followed by the Bulls, followed by the Cavs.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, no. Topsy-turvied it, Larry.
Oh, my God.
Topsy-turvied, Larry. But the Bulls are for real. The Bulls also made a lot of moves in the offseason. I mean, look, adding DeRozan is a big deal. Alex Caruso is actually just kind of very quietly a pretty good signing. Now, the Bulls are for real, although they did have a great run going and lost some. But, yeah, it's a little upside down over there. The Sixers, I think, are going to be okay. The Celtics, it seems like the Celtics have never recovered.
What about the Bucks? The champs.
What are the Bucks at right now?
They're awful. They're 6-8. They're awful. And they've got Giannis and they've got Holiday. It's terrible. It is terrible. It is unbelievable that that they're where they are right now. That is just that they haven't had Middleton for a little while now, but it's still, you would think they'd be able to be better than 6-8. The Wizards are the best team in the East. That is unbelievable. 713-780-37. And the Rockets are not. The Rockets are not the best team in the West right now, just so you know.
No. This is...
Did you watch any of that game last night?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Not a lot. Not a lot. I didn't. This is... I thought about actually taking my son to it, but I wasn't... We fell.
There
out
were more
it.
People. There were actual people in the stands.
You know, the Suns were a 5.5-point favorite.
That should be a red flag, though.
It is.
It should be a red flag. Bet the Rockets, and that's the way I would have looked at it. They're begging you to take the Suns, so you have to take the Rockets. That would have been a mistake.
I'm sorry. It was 8.5.
8.5. Even still.
Still seems low.
It does seem low.
Still seems low. This team now is 1-12. Somebody brought up a pretty good point. Steven Silas signed up and was hired as part of the James Harden-led Houston Rockets. It's hard to remember that, but it was James Harden with Eric Gordon, and that was the team that he signed up to be a part of. And they traded Russ, and we know about all that stuff. The team he has now is substantially different than the one he signed up for. He clearly wouldn't have signed up to be a head coach of this team for his first opportunity to coach. I have to say, I'm not super impressed with anything Steve Silas has done last year or this. I don't want to give him a long runway because he doesn't have talent. But this team, frankly, is just completely out of control. There's not any – I don't see building blocks necessarily from game to game where you say, hey – you know, we're starting to see this happen. We're starting to see that happen. I don't see any reason you have to get rid of Steven Silas. I do think this team could use a little more discipline and could use maybe a heavier hand. But I mentioned this on Twitter. You go heavy hand on the Rockets and with their young players. You know what young players will do now? They'll just throw you off the team. I mean, Steven Silas will get kicked off the team if he tries to coach too hard. But it's kind of what this team needs. They need a little harder hand so that they can create. Jalen Green has never come from a college program where they had a system in place and you learned a certain level of discipline and all this. You look at the team and it's a wildly undisciplined team. They don't necessarily play as a unit. It's a sum of a part. It's individual parts. It's not sum of a parts where they work as a unit and they play as a unit. Last night's a perfect example. Chris Paul helps you play as a unit. Like, this is who you are. Devin Booker gets to be who he is because it flows through Chris Paul. With the Rockets, it's just a bunch of dudes running around on both sides of the court. And I think what they could use is they could use, first of all, a couple veterans, but they could really use a head coach in a vacuum. They could use a coach who enforced more discipline and structure so that they could stay. More structure would allow them to play more consistently. The problem is that young team going to listen to the coach? Is that young team going to buy in? and give the structure that needs to be had. A lot of times that comes from veterans. There's no real veterans other than EG on this team. I mean, Christian Wood, I don't call him a veteran. That's not what I'm talking about.
Tice.
Kind of. I mean, John Wall is the one guy who would fit that mold, and he doesn't exist as a basketball player. No. He's just a cash check. He's just a check cash.
You know who's played well is Kenyon Martin Jr., and he just can't get time. He can't get minutes.
No.
Because his name is Kenyon Martin Jr.
I would think he could get minutes because of that.
Shengun's playing well, too, actually.
Yeah, he has.
You know, plus, minus.
Somebody sent me this. I think it was K-Mac sent this. Somebody said, Shengun is playing the best of all the Rockets, probably because he can't understand Silas's coaching. Like, well, that's not a glowing.
I don't think this is. This is, look at, they shot 22% from three last night. That's just, I mean, what is Steven Silas can't shoot it for him. That's the game they can't shoot straight. Jalen Green was 0-for-6, just throwing him up there from his hip, just throwing him up like he's a second grader.
Jalen Green's efficiency numbers are the worst on the team by far. Second is Josh Christopher.
Jalen Green was a minus 32 last night. He was a minus 32.
Josh Christopher is second lowest, 9.01, and then Kevin Porter Jr. is third. Realistically, your two least efficient players on your entire team are your two, I shouldn't say best because Christian Wood is your best player, but it's two of your most important players.
Yeah. You're too young. Now, there's going to be a lot of growing here. Green. They got to have a point guard. They've got to have somebody that's going to can go in there and actually run an offense. It's just hodgepodge. It's just throw it up. It is street ball, boy. What? They just have zero semblance of any kind of camaraderie or chemistry, or it's all just let's go down and just go one on one. That's it.
I'm not sure Jalen Green's ever done an actual push up either. He's the most spindly, non-muscled player I've seen since
Kevin Durant.
Yeah, since Slim Reaper.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It's I don't know. I thought they were going to be more exciting to watch. I was selling myself on that. Like, hey, I actually think the Rockets are going to be fun to watch this year. Fun. The Rockets are going to be fun to watch was uttered over 10,000 times in the city of Houston. Yeah. I said it multiple times. I've heard other people say it. Rockets should be a fun team to watch. I don't know how many wins they get, but they're going to be fun to watch. Currently, they're not getting wins, and they're not fun to watch.
No, they're currently. Not. Neither of those. They're neither of those. All right, when we come back, Joseph Duarte is going to join us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, UH Beat Reporter. For the Houston Chronicle, we'll talk about them Cougs. 17th in the country right now and unranked as far as the college football playoff poll committee goes. So we will talk about
that. You know what that is, John? That's prime. That is prime football right there. That's not choice.
No, it's prime.
It's not choice. It's prime. It's top of the line.
It's Wagyu.
Yeah.
Well, it's Kobe.
I don't know if I'm ready to call Houston.
Georgia's more Kobe.
Yeah. Like Georgia would be Kobe White right now. Baylor's playing like Wagyu, and the Cougs are certainly playing like Prime. Longhorns choice.
Ooh, I don't even think. No, the Longhorns are on the floor. That's what you cut off and you sweep it off.
The gristle. Are they the gristle right
that's
now?
That's what the Longhorns.
Peach fight.
Are.
In case you didn't know, we're talking butchers. We're talking peach fight meats.
When you lose to Kansas, you're gristle on the floor. Pete's Fine Meats is where you get your meat on, brother. Listen, Michael, and listen, it's not only the meats, and the meats are spectacular. And he's going to, but he says, hey, he's already got 150 turkeys out.
Yeah, every year I've done fried turkey from Pete's Fine Meats. I've done smoked where he'll pre-cook it. A lot of times you just buy it from him, and he'll tell you how he can give you cooking instructions if you want to put it on your grill, but. Yeah, they'll actually do the cooking and give you the rewarm instructions as well. That's a big part of it. They get jammed up with that. And then for Christmas, every year, a lot of people will do, like my family, we do a beef tenderloin. We buy it from Pete's Fine Meats every single year and do beef tenderloin. We've been doing that since 2005 was the first year.
Well, Michael's been there forever. His dad was there before that. And it is the best butcher you'll find in the city. But do not go and not buy the cookies, because the cookies are the best cookies you'll find in the world. I'm not even joking. You will love them. It's all at Pete's Fine Meats. You're looking for the best meat in the city and the best cookies. It's at Richmond and Chimney Rock.
Make sure you tell them we sent you, because Those people get hookups all the time. Yeah. You might end up with bacon wrapped shrimp. You might end up with a whole package of cookies.
Yeah.
Like Chase and his girl
tell
got.
Tell them you heard right here.
Make sure you tell them you heard about it on the bench.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, 831, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Bringing in Joseph Duarte from the Houston Chronicle, longtime writer for the Chronicle. He covers the Cougs now for our local paper. Joseph, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Let's talk a little bit about this team. How unfair has it been that the playoff committee has left him off? They sending a message to the American, or are they just totally? How can they totally ignore this football team this year, Joseph?
You know, that's a good question, John. Because you look at what they're doing to Cincinnati for one, and then you look at who's the next best team or on par with them, and it's Houston. And I could get it maybe the first. One of the season where, I think we're now going to be into our third ranking tomorrow. But after the SMU game, Houston should have opened some eyes there. And, there's doubts at the beginning when you're not playing as strong of a schedule. But, there's no reason Houston shouldn't be in that 20 to 22 range, most likely. And I think you're right. I think a lot of it has, you go back through this when Houston was doing well in 2015, 2016. You look at UCF. This has always been slanted against conferences like the American for years. And it just, I've heard Dana talk about this until he's blue in the face. And, and he doesn't think much of the rankings. And I don't think a lot of people should when you have a small number of programs that at the very beginning have a chance and everybody else is kind of looking on the outside in.
Yep. Joseph Duarte with us here talking Cougs football. I'm going to tell you this. I know Bijan Robinson is the best back in this state, Isaiah Spiller. But when it's all said and done, Alton McCaskill is going to make a name for him. I'm not going to say it. He reminds me. He's not Eric Dickerson. But his running style is straight up like that. He kind of gives me a little bit of an Eric Dickerson vibe.
It sort of puts the hair on your arms up because you're absolutely right. I went back and, it had been a while, but I went back to the Pony Express days and stuff, and that style and then right up the middle, John, and how he gallops. I mean, it's just so incredible to watch. I mean, there's some beauty in the way he runs. I mean, he's going to knock you over at the same time, but I mean, it's just so, scary how close those styles are, but you're right. We're not trying to compare him, but I mean this guy. I mean he's probably gonna be the Big 12 Player of the Year the first year that he's in the league. He'll be a junior at that point, but what he's doing is special. And we haven't gotten a chance to talk to him this year, but they ran a clip of him after the game when they gave him the ball for his 14 rushing touchdowns that broke a freshman record. And his comment was, "I'm here to break records." And if you go and you look at the Houston rushing records over time, his name's going to be at the top when it's all said and done. This kid has got star written over him. Congrats to Dane and them for going out and being able to land him, because that was a tough process. But they got a star. I mean, I know you guys talk about how much you want to hand him the ball. He's had 22 and 21 carries the last 2 weeks, and we're in week 10. So that should say something about there's no freshman wall with this kid. He keeps getting stronger as the season goes on.
Here's one of the reasons, though, Joseph, is, hey, why aren't you giving that kid the ball more? What are you doing? Give him the ball. Give him the ball. He's like, got a plan here. And you know what? They stuck to the plan. They didn't wear him out early on. And now look how strong he is late in the season.
Yeah. And, he's proven, on a number of things that he can be on the field. His blocking and pass protection's been a lot better. They don't throw to him as much anymore like they did early on, because they've had some receivers that have stepped up, and they're using the tight ends more. But you're right. This is a guy that they stuck to a plan. It helps that Tayshaun Henry is playing really well the last few weeks. So And this is a scary team. You look at what Clayton Tune's doing. You've got guys like Nathaniel Dell, who I know you guys love on the show. And then you, you know, you look at what they have in the backfield. This is an offense that is clicking at exactly the right time.
I think one of the most interesting things is Houston Cougar fans, by the end of the first half against Navy, were literally done with Dana. They just, like, this isn't working out. This is it's 2 years and a few games in. This sucks. Then Dana gets a $1 million bonus when Houston gets into the Big 12, and Cougar fans behind the scenes were so pissed off about that. Like, it's not their money. But this guy doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve it. Some of the same people who turned on him early, which I understand their frustration. I'm not saying they shouldn't have been frustrated, but he has really won them back in just a single season. Rarely do we see the narratives change so greatly on a coach in a single season, but that's where we are right now with Dana Holgorsen and the job that he's done this year.
Yeah, and you know, it's so easy for us all to spend other people's money and make decisions like that. But you're right, and you know, I've never been around a program where it's so split. I mean, there's no in between. You either love them or you don't love them. And you're right. You know, winning cures a lot. And you know, there were a lot of people that even in wins, they were like, "Well, I'm still not sure," or they would do something great. Well, why didn't they do it this way in winning? So I mean, it's very polarizing. It's sort of just different how people are approaching what Dana's doing this year. But you know, any other year, he's the American Coach of the Year. If they're not doing what they're doing in Cincinnati, you know, he's the runaway. And you know, I went and did some research this weekend, and Houston's tied for third nationally in the biggest jump from wins from last year to this year. And that just shows you, you know, what they did. They had a plan in place. They needed to get older. They needed to shore up a lot of areas that they just did not have the depth. And they, you know, there's still some work in progress, but what they've done in sticking to the plan, you know, it was going to take some time for people to buy in. And I really hope that this last home game, you know, you know how the attendance argument goes with this program. I really hope they draw it in, because this is the last home game of the year unless they host the American Championship game. And this team really deserves people to come out and watch, because it's been one of the more fun teams to watch this year.
It absolutely has, in large part because Clayton Tune is really – listen, I've had issues with Clayton Tune. He wasn't very good last year. He was bad. He wasn't very good the year before. He missed guys. He wasn't great in this game, but how bad was that wind on Saturday?
You know, it was interesting, John, because we were in the box. You could only gauge it a little bit, but then you saw the flags all of a sudden just flying away. And, it caused some problems where – you know, they knew coming in that they wanted to run the ball, and then you didn't see a lot of deep throws, and you know that was a lot of it. You know, this was a game that Nathaniel Dell wasn't going to really be as much of a factor as a Green or a Trahan at tight end. But you know, when you talk about Clayton, you know, never won injuries, but I think that hamstring injury may have saved this season for Houston, because it totally turned him in to a different quarterback. And that's not to say that Shannon Dawson and Dana Holgorsen wouldn't have tried to make that adjustment, but it's easier to make an adjustment when you absolutely have to versus you're telling a kid, hey, let's try this. So Clayton Tune and his completion percentage has been off the chart the last few weeks. You know, you give him this game because of a lot of outside factors, but I really will be interested to see how he steps up these final few games, because, you know, Memphis was a problem game last year that went down to the wire that I know they wish they had back. But he, you know, when you have a quarterback that's playing at his level, you're going to be in every game.
Listen, yeah, they got Memphis and then one more.
UConn.
And then, yeah, UConn. Not really one more. but they've got those two. I think this team can beat Cincinnati. The way that Cincinnati's played, Joseph, this team, if Clayton Tune plays like he did, not last week, but the 2 weeks before, and you can, and listen, he did it without much of a running game in those games. He carried this football team. If Clayton Tune can come up with a performance like that against Cincinnati, they can beat that team.
Yeah, and you know, you look at Cincinnati, and you know they've got Desmond Ridder as head quarterback, but they're what separates them is their defense. And I was looking over the weekend, I was like, man, how many guys on that and that team have three or four interceptions? So they're very they capitalize on your mistakes. So you know that works in their favor. But you know, like you said, they look human, you know, on other sides of the ball, especially on offense. So if this game is in Houston, absolutely, I think you have a chance. I would be interested to see what an early December game in Cincinnati would feel like from an element standpoint. But this is not just a typical number two, number three team where they're, you know, Bama and just running over you and stuff. I think Houston would match up well, and you hit it, you know, right there. If Clayton plays the way that we've seen him play, you know, there's no reason you couldn't or shouldn't take Houston in a matchup like that. And how would that turn out? I mean, you basically would have the Sumlin Houston BCS on the line against Southern Miss from years ago, and the reverse roles where Houston could knock, you know, Cincinnati out of the playoff, and then Houston finds its way possibly in a New Year's Six bowl.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it'd be crazy.
I wonder if it'd be UT San Antonio or it'd be Houston. That'd be the question.
Yeah, and that's where I think if you're Houston and if you can get into the playoff rankings this week, you have an opportunity to make a big leap if you beat a Cincinnati right. Versus UTSA doesn't have anybody the rest of the way. So that, I think that's where Houston gains the most, but you got to get into that ranking now. This is the week that you really have to do it.
And it's ridiculous if they don't. Joseph Duarte here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Good to talk to you, man.
No, thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Thanks, Joseph. Joseph Duarte right here. Covering those Cougs. Friday night, by the way. Get on out there. And, by the way, we got our golf tournament that's coming up here. It is the Occasional Invitational. If you're looking for a great time, it's December 1st, okay? That's the week of the championship game. The AAC championship is on Saturday, the 4th. So that week, December on Wednesday, come on, 10:30, Wildcat Golf Club. Everybody's going to receive beverages from Michelob Ultra and Cutwater Spirits, lunch with Frankie's Italian Kitchen, dinner from Orleans Seafood Kitchen, 18 holes of golf. It's just going to be just a great time had by all. So come on, get to ESPN975.com and enter. Let's go. It is packed every year. Do it now.
Before you tell everybody about your favorite place to go gamble lately, somebody texted in and said, all the talk about Coug football got him fired up. He went and bought tickets. Wonders where he should tailgate before the game, what he should do before the game.
Oh,
what are we going to be doing there before the game downtown, right? You know, just train right away.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You could come to Cobos Q. We're going to be there till 3 o'clock. You go to Cobos Q beforehand. We're going to be at 2012 Rusk all day from 7 until 3.
Yeah.
You go and tailgate over there. You take the train over to the Cougs Stadium, which drops you off right there at the Cougs Stadium. You party there. They've got, listen, the tailgate there at the Cougs is awesome. It really is a good tailgate. I was there a few weeks ago, and I got to tell you, I was like, wow, this is fun. I mean, because we go to LSU. That's the best tailgate in the world. And I'm like, man, people here are really, really, really having a great time. You can go from tent to tent to tent. And there's sell stuff out there that you can go and buy. You can get your beer on. You can get your food on out there at the outside at the tailgate. It's just a lot of fun. So let's go. Friday night, got to fill that place up. Let's go. And you start at Cobos Q with us at 2012 Rusk. I'm telling you what. We were there for the DraftKings Sportsbook opening at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. They have so many TVs, so much fun. But they're building a new sportsbook that is going to be spectacular. It'll probably open this summer. But there's nothing that you can't do there. You've got restaurants that are just unbelievable, that are just awesome. If you're looking for a great, great – if you just like to go for restaurants, you've got everything that you could want there, from seafood to steak to Italian to Asian. You got all. You got it. It's unbelievable how good it is. And you've got the pool, which is awesome. You've got the golf course, which is awesome. You've got the casino that's awesome. All the rooms. How good was your room? It was unbelievable.
Phenomenal.
So if you're looking for a great place to go, you don't have to go to Vegas anymore. You just go. It's actually just over 2 hours down the road. You don't have to go through the security, fly the plane. it costs you about $15 to get there and back. All you got to do is go to the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. It is awesome, people. Get there with the new sports book open, the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. Hey, let's do the tickets now. Let's give them away. Tell you what, at exactly 8:55, we've got, how many tickets are these? Are we doing three again?
Yeah, we got a three-pack.
Nobody does a three-pack. Why do we have three? Who's got three?
That's so strange.
You and your wife and your guma? No. Who are you gonna? What do you mean three?
Your boys.
You pick your favorite child.
You and two of your good friends. Well, then you and two kids.
Okay. You ever play golf? You don't play a threesome. You play a foursome. You got three friends. Don't you have three friends?
Yeah, but you also have two friends.
It's
you and your two guys. You two,
okay,
your friends.
In America, we have more than one kid.
How about
Mom,
we go?
Dad, and more than one kid.
What if it's two couples that just want to go and maybe just make it a couples night out? What about that?
How can two couples go with just three tickets?
That's what I'm saying. There should be four so that you could have a date night with another friend from the neighborhood.
Yes. Yeah. Or, well, now here's what we could do. Me, my wife, and Dell.
I mean, that's a thought. That's a thought. Yeah. Oh, he's got to do a show up here on Saturdays.
It's Friday.
Game Friday. That's right. Yeah, oh, he can go. Yeah, there's no excuse. He can go.
Me, Wendy, and Dell.
Kobo's like, hey, is Dell going to come out to the, like, I want Dell to come. I said, I know what you want.
Right.
I'm just telling you now. It doesn't matter if Dell's, because he's not technically working that day at the station.
He's coming because people will be there.
He's not. I told you. I said, it's not a game. You think this is a game? No. I had to act like I was DMX. Do you think this is a game? Do you think this is a mother? Dell's going to give it to you. What? Going to give it to you. But only Dell's not going to give it to you because Dell's not going to be there.
Right, right, right.
Do you think this is a game that Dell says, I don't want to be around humans?
Well, maybe he'll
go. It's real.
Maybe he'll go. He'll be there at 7 with our show and then all day long.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we'll all go to the game. I'll pick him up there and we'll go to the game together.
You know what Dell is? Black Charlie.
Right.
Dell's Black Charlie Pololo. Doesn't want to be, doesn't need you trying to hug him. like Death by Sexy. I saw him actually do that at an event one time when I was at the other station.
That's uncomfortable.
He came up and tried to hug Charlie. I have never seen someone in my entire life so uncomfortable. Then he went in to try to get him another hug, try to sneak in at a March Madness broadcast. Charlie saw him and, you can keep your distance. Stay there. There will be no hugs. I'm being serious.
Hey,
do not touch me.
We're only 3 minutes away, so we got to tell them. 713-780-3776. Caller number three, because there's three tickets, okay? There's only three tickets. Caller number three gets the three tickets to the game at TDECU on Friday night. There's all kinds of good fun. It's going to be fun. That's a Friday. People get take off work early, tailgate at the game, get on out there. That's going to be good, clean fun for the whole family right there. So we got three tickets to give away. I don't know why three. That's just so dumb.
I'll talk to the promotions department after our meeting today.
Yes. Can you ask her, what's the deal with three tickets? Who gives away three tickets? Nobody. We do. All right, let me ask you this question, Lance. If you had the AP Top 25 came out, and tomorrow the playoff, gun to your head, the four best teams in college football.
Gun to my head, well, I mean, it's going to be the three usual suspects, Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State. You start with those three. Number
now, who's
four,
the fourth team?
Is it Clemson this year? No. Is it Notre Dame? No.
Well, Notre Dame's up to sixth.
I know, but I'm not buying into them. Honestly, I'll tell you what. Ooh. I mean, it's not Oregon. I don't feel like it's Cincinnati. Boy, another game they just
kind of
sleepwalk through. They were just okay.
How about Oklahoma State?
I'm not there with them. I like Michigan State better than Oklahoma State.
No, I don't. I don't. They're plotting. Oklahoma State is real.
This conference sucks nuts. There's no way Oklahoma State's real. Nobody's real in this conference.
Watch them beat Oklahoma this year.
They'll lose to them.
They're not going to lose to Oklahoma.
Iowa State got beat by a 62-yard field goal. Oklahoma's almost lost four different times. Well, almost lost three times. Lost this week. That whole conference stinks.
It doesn't.
Except I think Baylor is legit. I think Oklahoma State is – I think they're solid. I think Baylor's solid to maybe above average because of their defense. Those two might be the best teams in the conference.
They are. They are.
Oklahoma State and Baylor, and they're ranked. They're going to be ranked the highest, right?
Mm-hmm. No, no, no. Well, yeah, yeah. They are. They both are.
This week, yeah.
Oh, it's well, don't forget Baylor's got two losses.
But they beat Oklahoma. They're falling in the playoff hunt. They're going to fall behind Baylor.
Yeah. The only loss for Oklahoma State was 24-21 at Iowa State.
Not a bad loss.
No, Oklahoma State beat Baylor already by 10. They didn't look great early. They only beat Missouri State by 7. They beat Tulsa by 5.
It's a quiet.
They beat Boise by 1.
It's a quiet one-loss season.
But they have been rolling now, and they look pretty. They're playing their best.
Tell me who they
right
beat.
Well, Big 12 teams. That's it. Well, and, I mean, and
just,
Boise.
Just saying.
And Boise.
Well, who are the Big 12 teams?
The Big 12 teams. They beat Kansas State. They beat Baylor. They beat Texas. They beat Kansas
State.
They beat
Baylor
West Virginia.
Aren't bad. They're not bad. No. Baylor's a good win.
Yeah.
Kansas State's is an okay win.
Boise's an okay win. At Boise, listen, the calls in that game were just ridiculous. I'm telling you, I think Oklahoma State is probably the fourth best team in the country right now.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Well, name another one.
I did. Michigan State. I think they're probably better than if they matched up with Oklahoma
they
State.
They just got their ass beat by Purdue.
Do you? I know, but they had won previous to that.
Yeah, and they got their ass handed
Oklahoma
to them.
Oklahoma State's beaten Texas and a bunch of nobodies for the most part.
Going They've to got, Texas and winning.
Who's their little quarterback? He's all right.
No. Sander, what are you talking about? He's all
What's
right.
What's his name? Shane?
No, it's Spencer Sanders.
Yeah,
what
Spencer,
is wrong with
yeah,
you?
Yeah, Spencer Sanders.
What is wrong with you?
Because the league's full of good Spencers.
Yeah, great Spencers. No, they got...
He's the best Spencer in the
Warren
league, probably.
Can run the football.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, no, he's
I
really
mean,
good.
Come on now.
They got receivers.
The fourth best team in college football?
Yeah.
Based off of literally, what, the Baylor win?
No, they've been taking care of business.
I was against
They're getting
against
better
nobody's
and better, and better
though,
every week.
You can't... Big
I'll put
12
them
gets
against
no,
Oregon right
I'm telling
now.
You, Big 12 gets no nothing. And they're just the same as a Pac-12, basically. The Big 12 is an atrocity. I mean, you have your one of your best teams loses a 62-yard field goal, but Iowa State hasn't been that great. Oklahoma has just been, you know, hanging on against Kansas and Tulane.
I'm just telling you.
I mean,
you right
just
now.
This conference sucks. This is a terrible conference.
Well, I'll tell you this though. Name another team. Okay, Michigan State. They could beat Michigan State. There's no question
Michigan
they could
State could beat
them.
I don't think they'd stop Kenneth Walker. I mean, that's actually a good football conference this year. Big Ten, this is quietly one of the best years Big Ten's had in a while, where you have a bunch of teams that are pretty good.
A bunch of plotting teams.
They're a bunch
slow.
Of teams are not bad.
They're a bunch of
I mean, that's
plotters.
A good Purdue team. Ohio State, we know that. Ohio State right now is probably the second best team in college football, ahead of Alabama. It probably
they
goes
well
Georgia.
Be.
It probably goes Georgia. And by the way, it's a physical game, Georgia-Tennessee now. They were smacking each other. But it's probably Georgia, Ohio State, and then Alabama,
and by the way,
honestly.
That Tennessee quarterback ain't bad.
No, he ain't bad.
No, he ain't bad at all. No, that's a good football game. All right, 857 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. I'm just telling you, watch. When Oklahoma State beats Oklahoma's ass,
they're the next Wake
they
Forest.
Deserve to be
they'll
there.
Be out of here soon enough.
And Notre Dame. Forget Notre Dame is ahead of them. Boom. Screw you. If Notre Dame makes
it.
Into
beat
it,
Notre Dame. I'd put
off.
Oklahoma State ahead of them, too.
Beat it. Time to talk right now about Absolute Marble and Granite, and nobody's going to beat what Jeff Aronoff is going to do for you and your home and the value of your home and the look of your home. The how easy it is to use, how affordable it is, everything about it. When you're putting in an outdoor kitchen, now, he'll look at the landscape. He'll look at, you know, the size of the backyard. He took ours. We had a little area there, and he made it a kitchen. He put the countertops in for the grills. He put a place in for the refrigerator, for the garbage can, everything. And he put a countertop there for the for our table, and it was just spectacular. And it helped us sell our house. We had the he put the there's the tile for your pool. There's the patio flooring. There's everything that you got to have out there for your backyard to make it great. And to add to the value of that home or business. You're looking for the best way to improve the value of your home, make it look great, and, oh, by the way, make it more livable. It's all at Absolute Marble and Granite. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
Get low when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Get low when the whistle goes. Sports. ESPN 97.5.